Today I'm going to be talking about needs versus wants. You know, because a lot of times the things that we want are not really the things that we need, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to be speaking this week and next week. This week I'd like to just talk about our needs. And if you have the word of the Lord, but you turn to Philippians chapter 4. We have such a great God. We just have such an awesome God. And we're talking about prayers, you know, and we can go to Him in prayers. And does it really cost us anything to talk to God? But you know what? He watches over us and He takes care of us all the time. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You know, I'm going to drop down to 17. We're going to read 17, 18, and 19. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul knew what this was all about, you know. He says in verse 18, you know, but I have all and abound. I am full. You know, God was giving him those things that he needed for each and every day. And in verse 19, should be of such a comfort to each and every child of God. And I kind of like the way he puts the words in here, Brother Leroy, because it says, you know what? When we read this, Gary says, but my God. So he's putting it in a form here that brings it down to us, very personal, because we have a personal relationship, not only with Jesus Christ, but we should have a personal relationship with God. But that means that he knows all about us. And he says, you know, my God shall supply all your need. Now, we have one of those things which is an all-encompassing statement. It says that he should be able to, but he says what? He shall. I love that, you know. If you look through the Word of God and see all those shalls, now we know. I kept saying, well, whether they call us hard shell Baptists or hard shall Baptists sometimes, Brother Leroy, because we believe in all those shalls that are in the Bible. In Matthew, it says, you know, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Did all those shalls come to be? Yes, they did. And the shall that's in here is going to come to be for each and every child of God. He shall supply all your needs. When has he failed to supply each and every one of us everything that we stood in need for? He has never failed us once, has he? Now, we might think in our minds that he has failed us, but he hasn't. You know, when he takes a loved one from us, sometimes we think, well, how is that needful? But for whatever reason, it might have been needful. We don't know why. Supply all your need according to his riches. I love this verse. How rich is God? Yeah, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they think they're rich. I was just reading in the paper. Bill Gates, yeah, what does he do with his $70 billion? What do you do with $70 billion? Gary, I think I know what we could possibly do, but, you know, do we need $70 billion? No, we probably don't need $70 billion. But let's just say, look how rich he is. But, you know, God is richer than him, far and above what he is. So he can supply us. He can do, as Brother Leroy brought over, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, when we can't ask or think, is he supplying us our needs? Yes, he is. He's supplying us all our needs. You know, he watches over us all the time. That's part of our needs, watching over us as we're traveling grace. You know, when Gary was not here a few weeks ago, he was spending time down in Florida, and may I ask, rubbing it in a little bit. You know, when he's up here in the Hammond area, God's watching over and supplying his needs. So when Gary went down to Florida, did God stop providing Gary with his needs while he was down there? No, he sure didn't. That's the same way with us. You know, we need to look at our lives and see how good he is unto us and supplies all our needs. You know, we know Sister Geneva, she has some bad days with her needs, or with her knees, you know, and sometimes she has good days. Sometimes she has bad days. You know, but God is still supplying her needs to get through that day. Our God is an omnipresent God. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. So no matter where we are, no matter in what church we are, he supplies all of our needs according to the riches in glory, to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we can't never take Jesus out of anything, can we? You know, Jesus is always in the equation, no matter what. You can't take him out. If you take him out, then there's no equation. If you take Jesus out of our life, we have nothing. We have no hope. When it talks about the resurrection, we have no hope. But how good is our God? How awesome is our God? Stay in Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. Paul is continuing to talk, and he says, you know, he writes, not that I speak in respect of want. So he says, you know, it's not what I want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever I state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I couldn't read just verse 11 where it talks about, you know, to be content. I had to get down to that verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ. You know, he says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. So he says, but you know what? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. Why is he content? Because God is supplying his needs. That's how we can be content, when God is supplying our needs. And he does. I mean, when we look around, he takes care of us. We have houses in which we live in. That's a need that we have. Cars to drive around in to go to work. You know, he provides us with food each and every day. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, you can't take Christ Jesus out of anything. Can't change. Can't take him out of here. I don't care if you go from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus is there through the entire Bible. That's it. Boom. Jesus Christ. See, and we can say what Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. He gives me everything I stand in need of. You know, we're talking about, you know, Stacy and Dewey, you know. Now, God has provided Dewey with what in Genesis calls about a helpmeet. He's provided him with a wife that is going to be there. You know, it's in God's own time and his own purpose that he does these things. Now, we see the grace of God working in the lives of two people to bring those two people together as Dewey and Stacy. It had nothing to do with fate. It had nothing to do with chance. It had everything to do with the grace of God. And I firmly believe that from the bottom of my heart. And you might disagree with me, but I think I can prove that to scriptures. So God is what? Providing their needs to be together as one and to be husband and wife. And I hope that whoever marries them puts in till death do them part. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. In chapter 6, beginning, it talks all about a lot of things, and it talks about prayer. And in verse 8, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Isn't that awesome? You know, before we even ask him, he knows what we have need of. How many times we don't ask him and he gives us what we need? We probably should, but we don't. When we get in the vehicle and we go, do we ask, you know, give us traveling grace? No, we don't. Does he provide us with traveling grace? Yes, he does, because he knows that we need that traveling grace. So he provides these things for us. And he takes care of us. You know, when he's talking about that, we look up and he's talking about these when they pray. You know, don't be as the hypocrites are, for they love standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You know, when you pray, is to enter into your closet, you know, that your Father which seeth in you secret can reward thee secretly. He gives us those things we stand in need of. You know, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. So in verse 8, he said, you know, be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't be like them. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Isn't that what a good father does? Isn't that what our fathers try to do for us? Just take care of our needs. Give us those things that we stand in need of. And that's what we do. And so we have such a heavenly Father that he's there for us to take care of us and watch over us, to give us those things that we need each and every day. You know, I don't think I've ever finished that book yet, Brother Leroy. I got to apologize, but Brother Leroy gave me a book, George Mueller. And I guess Leroy's kind of, well, I can kind of understand a little bit. The book's like this thick. So kind of like he sent me the works of David Bartley on email. And I copied it down to iBooks, by the way. And I'm glad I did, because I sure couldn't have printed it, because it was, in the iBooks, it comes out to 668 pages. So I'm like, but, you know, he's just so good unto us. And he is just He's so awesome. And I mean, there's plenty of times that, you know, what I want you to get out of this is, one thing is, don't think that you don't have to ask him, okay? Don't think that because God knows what we stand in need of, don't think to him, Butchie, that we don't have to pray. We need to go to him and pray and say, hey, Lord, I need your help. Because as when you would go to your fathers for help, like I was just talking with Bill, you know, last night, you know, and sometimes his children will call him up and say, Dad, I need your help. So what, they have a need in their lives. But you know what? I know Bill will always go and help his children. But you know that you know how good that probably, well, sometimes maybe Bill's like, you know, but how good it is that Bill's children, how good it makes Bill feel that my children need me. My children need me. Isn't that so awesome? So that's like with God, you know. My children need me. My children need me. So when we go to him in prayer, you know what? That's like, you know, we're saying to God, God, I need you. We have needs. We need God. We need God in our lives. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. Our children need us in their lives. So just think how good that makes you feel. So now you know how good God feels when we go to him in prayer and ask him for help and for needs, you know. And like I say, he's God. So it doesn't make, there could be a million people begging for his attention. But because he's God, he can hear all 1 million people. He's God. The Bible says, I am God, there is none else. There's nothing else. I am God. In dropping down a little bit, just a couple of verses down from verse 8, you know, the disciples kind of asked, how do we pray? And he said, you know, Jesus says, you know, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So I looked up in Gill's commentary, and basically it comes down to our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That don't mean just, you know, to think that, give me food to eat today. Yeah, I know. God gives me plenty of food to eat every day. But he's telling us, you know, we're asking him when we pray to him, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, those things we stand in need of to get through today. And you've heard me speak this. You're probably getting sick of me saying it. You know what? The things that we need today aren't the same things that we needed yesterday. And the things that we need today aren't the same things that we're going to need to get through tomorrow. That's why we have such an awesome God, because he knows exactly what we need to get us through today. Today. And as my wife always reminds me of, why do you worry if it's going to snow tomorrow? So you know what? We need to worry about today. Today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't here yet. God will take care of those things. That's why we have such a awesome God. Staying in Matthew chapter 6, I guess what better to stay in where Jesus is talking to us to learn about needs. We're going to read verses 31 to 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what my wife is telling me is very scriptural. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. When that comes, you know, and as Brother Roger said, you know, hey, when I wake up that morning, I put my feet on the ground. He said, I thank God because God has thought enough of me that he's allowed me to be in yet another day in the land of the living. That's a statement I remember my father-in-law always talking, another day in the land of the living. He has allowed us to be another day, Brother Jay. So, if he's allowed us to be another day in the land of the living, isn't he going to take care of you? Isn't he going to give you your needs? Your needs? That's what such a good God that we have. You know, and I like the way, well, I guess we should like the way Jesus talks to us. So he said, therefore, take no thought, saying. Don't take no thought. Don't worry about. What does he say? Don't worry about. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Have we woke in the morning, and he has not provided with what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, you know, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Has he failed to provide anything for us each and every day of our lives? Maybe we're not going to eat. As we were eating last night, I looked over to this other guy's table, and had this big old hunk of prime rib. Well, he might not provide us prime rib. Sometimes he might provide us with things like Brother Roger said, he eats a bologna sandwich. But are both of those things going to satisfy our hunger? Yes. Are both of those things going to satisfy our hunger? I know, yeah, we might want that prime rib, Gary, but he gives us the need and he might provide us with bologna or hot dogs. It might be peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I'm going to get to my wife a little bit on homemade bread. So, but anyway, see, he takes care of us, doesn't he? You know, but he says, you know what, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek. You know, even Jesus sat there and said, you know what, you're not seeking me because of what I'm saying. You're seeking me because I fed the 5,000. You're wanting to eat. You know, but Jesus Christ very plainly says, I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I believe that's the way it is. He's saying, you know what? I take care of you. And he says, you know what? I am the great shepherd. And the shepherd takes care of his sheep. And he provides all of our wants. So he says, you know, for after all these things that a Gentile seek, for your heavenly Father, now this is the second time in chapter 6, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He knows exactly what we need to sustain ourselves. He gives us earthly food, and he provides us with spiritual food each and every day of our lives to get us through. You know, like I said in Ephesians chapter 1, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 29 to 32. This is kind of like a little bit what we read. And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth or realizes, knoweth that ye have need of all these of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to to give you the kingdom. This is pretty much echoing what we talked about in Matthew, a little bit different. You know, he says, and seek not. He's basically telling don't waste your time. Don't waste your time in seeking after all these things. He says, because you know what? Your Father knoweth that you need all these things. He knows you need clothes to wear. He knows you need food. He knows you need liquid refreshment. You got to remember, this is the man that created our body. He knows exactly what we need to sustain this body. And it's not just earthly food, it's spiritual food. You know, the Bible says what? Bodily exercise profiteth little. So he knows what we stand in need of for this body of ours. And we cannot survive on just, if you're a child of God, you cannot survive on just physical food. You cannot survive on just spiritual or physical food. We need spiritual food. As a child of God, we need spiritual food to sustain our spiritual bodies all the time. And he supplies our needs in those regards also. He takes care of us. He's given us this right here, the Holy Bible. Not to get sidetracked, but you know what? I was thinking the other day as I was driving to work how blessed we are and we don't take advantage of it. When you read in the New Testament about these people, I think we forget. I think we have a very forgetful mind. And when they talk about searching the scriptures and looking through all these different things to see if these things are so, you got to remember, see, we forget. They didn't have this. They didn't have this, Brother Jay. They didn't have a book that had it nice and neat from Genesis to Revelation. They didn't have chapters, verses, anything like that. They had parchments. They had papers. They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have a computer that they could look up all these things. Not everybody had these parchments and these papers. They were handwritten with ink. And the only reason why some of these things survived the thousands and thousands of years is because of the grace of God. The grace of God, Brother Leroy. I've got a file at home where I keep a lot of my receipts. The other day I was going through some of the receipts. I opened up this receipt and I looked, and it was like all the ink had disappeared. There was nothing there. Well, guys, I might as well. My wife says, why do you keep some of these things, these receipts and whatever? I got receipts for a coat that she bought for me 15 years ago still sitting in my file. I opened up this, and there's like nothing on there. So can you imagine, you know, that, and God forgive me, but the primitive way with which they wrote and had ink. You know, they couldn't go down to Staples and buy, you know, ink pens or anything like that. They had to use whatever they could. I don't know what they used back then, Brother Leroy. If it was a quill or something that they used. I don't know what they did. You know, maybe they didn't even do that back then. I don't know how. But when we see the Dead Sea Scrolls that they had, and you could still read them, after thousands of years, I couldn't read a receipt for after 5 years. This is how great our God is, that he preserves these things that are what? Needful for us. Needful for us. That we can now look and say, wow. Yeah, you can see my Bible. You know, but we can read everything from Genesis to Revelation. We can see Jesus Christ in everything from Genesis to Revelation. We can see from Genesis to Revelation God providing the needs for everybody. when Israel was wandering in the desert for 40 years. He gave them those things that they needed to survive. I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about that, and they were talking about how for 40 years they wore the same clothes, they wore the same shoes. I couldn't see that happening in this world today, not with all the fashion-conscious people that are in the world today. You want me to wear the same shoes for 40 years? You want me to wear the same clothes for 40 years? No. Not in this day and age. But God still provides our wants as He provided their wants all the time. I hate to keep doing saying it, but what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I got a few I got to get through. So Hebrews chapter 4. I was going to read 16. We're going up to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? In time of need. So when we have that time of need in our lives, notice again that the Apostle Paul is not putting down, in time of want. He says, it's in time of need. When we have that time when we are needing something, it says, we can confidently approach that throne of glory. Wow, how amazing that is. We can get down on our knees and we can approach that throne of glory when we're needing something, and we can go to Him and we can say, these are the things that I need right now. And when has He ever let you down? Anybody? Has God ever let you down? I don't think anybody could say, God has ever let me down. When we've went to Him with the need and said, hey, I know we've been through a lot of things in our lives. Things really look bad. And you know what? When we go to Him, He helps us. He helps us. And some people might say, well, He has to help us. No, He doesn't have to help us. If there's something this is different from my wants. Jesus Christ wants to help us. He wants to help us each and every day of our lives. He wants to help us. But this one just hit me when he says, Paul writes, let us therefore. And I like when Paul can switch from different, verbs, adjectives, whatever. I'm not very good with verbs and adjectives, but you know what? Like when he says, my God. He says, my God. But here he says, let us therefore. Because he knows, that was me and you. Me and you. He's saying, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Unto that throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is so good. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Be content. Be content with such things as ye have. So if we start complaining against the things we have, We're not complaining. We're complaining against God and saying, God, you're not giving me those things that I need. Now, be content with such things as you have. Because God knows what we need. So when we complain, and we're not just complaining against something, we're complaining against God and saying, you know what? But, you know what? I like what he says. You know what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I just like that. So that we may boldly say. So Brother Leroy, in earlier when he told me, he says that boldly means confidently. Let's put that into here, Brother Leroy, and say, you know what? So that we may confidently say. Let's not be bold about it, you know. But let's, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Yes. Because why? God is our helper. He's there for us each and every day. Each and every day. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. You know, so in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go to verse 11, but, you know, Brother Roger, he's talked about this. You know, he's talked about Brother Paul, the things that he went through in his life, you know, shipwrecked, he was stoned, left for dead, all these different things that came upon him. You know, I'm going to read verse 27 and verse 28. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I said this, Brother Leroy, I wanted this in here for you, Roger, and myself. And I want the congregation to understand this. That it said, you know, besides all these things that are without, you know, the things that are unto us is what? Cometh upon us daily, the care of the church is upon us. That means that we are supposed to supply your spiritual needs. You know, we talked about God provides you with that earthly food. God is providing you with the spiritual needs in your life by Brother Roger, Brother Leroy, and myself. And for all the ministers, all the Primitive Baptist ministers, I should say all the ministers that preach the truth. Preach the truth. Yeah, I had to add that, brother. All the ministers that preach the truth, we are supposed to provide the needs of the church, the spiritual needs of the church. God has said, you know what? I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. He's not leaving you today. He's providing things for your spiritual needs today. Today. Last, I want to go into 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So we brought nothing into this world. We're going to take nothing out of this world. And in between those two times, God provides all of our needs. I just want to thank each and every one for your kind attention today, and I hope it's been of a comfort to you. Anybody have a...